Hallelujah. So we're going to start from Ephesians chapter 6. Open your Bible to Ephesians 6. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 16 to 18. And so firstly we take that from New King James or New Living. Ephesians 6, 16 to 18. And then finally we go to Amplified. Tell us which version, sir.
That's NKJV.
Yes.
Right. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of spirit, which is the word of God. Amen. 18. Right. Pray always with all prayer and supplication in the spirit.
Pray always with, or I would say including, all prayer and supplication in the spirit. Continue. Watch. Does it say watch?
Watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints.
Amen. Now what the conversation there as he read is that the command is not just to pray. The command is also to watch. If you are praying and you're not watching, you can still lose the battle. The watching is your alertness. The watching is your consecration. The watching is the precaution you will take. Yeah? Because you can spend all your energy praying and yet you're compromising your prayer by your carelessness. Hallelujah. So it's important to understand that prayer is not the only key. It's just one of the keys. Prayer is not the only weapon. It's just what? One out of seven. Hallelujah. You pray and you what? You watch. Or let's sweep it around. You watch and then you pray. Amen. Another version, Ephesians 6, 16 to 18. New King James and then Amplified. Ephesians 6, 16 to 18. New King James Version.
I'll be reading from Amplified.
Amplified Version.
Lift up over all the covering shield of saving faith, upon which you can quench all the flaming missiles of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword that the Spirit wields, which is the word of God. Pray at all times, on every occasion, in every season, in the Spirit, with all manner of prayer and entreaty. To that end, keep alert and watch with strong purpose and perseverance, interceding in behalf of all saints, God's consecrated people.
Amen. Hallelujah. Let me just read that line. Is God's consecrated? Consecration. Now we're talking about watching and consecration. Amen. Your consecration is part of your watching. If you lack consecration, you are going to inadvertently open some doors to the devil, because you are playing, yeah, in sin zone. You are taking your chances. Are you with me? If you want to take your chances, you are taking spiritual risk. And they can be costly. So you want to minimize your risk. It's not your neighbor. Smile at them and say, minimize your spiritual risk. And maximize your spiritual opportunities. Am I speaking business language? is it SWOT? Yeah? What is it, SWOT? Anybody know about SWOT? Somebody will help me. I have people here. Who can help me? SWOT. You should know
strengths,
weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. Yeah, exactly. So minimize the threats and maximize what? The opportunities. And one of the opportunities you have spiritually is prayer. Hallelujah. You didn't invent it. Amen. I didn't. Thousands of years before we came, prayer has been ongoing. Amen. It's not new business. When Jesus, the Son of God himself, came into the world, he prayed. He started his ministry with prayer. He was in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights. The Spirit led him. And he what? He fasted and he prayed. And he says, if Jesus had to pray to overcome, you can't do better than Jesus. You can only follow in his footsteps. And at the end of his ministry in the Garden of Gethsemane, yeah? What? He ended with prayer. At least 3 hours. We know it's 3 hours at least because he went, he said, could you not watch with me for 1 hour? And he went to them how many times? 3 times. Hallelujah. So Jesus started with prayer. He ended with prayer. Prayer is very important. Hallelujah. Grace does not excuse you from praying. Grace empowers you to pray. Hallelujah. Because let me tell you the way grace works. Grace, yeah, comes from God, isn't it? So, the language of grace is that you are depending. Prayer is an expression of your dependence. See, people who don't pray, yeah, they like to be in court, control. Do it, everything in the right place. And so long everything is in the right place, why should they pray? Tell me, why should they pray? So how will God get them? And I'm not talking to you. How will God get somebody who is not praying and what, and everything is in control, everything is right place? What does God have to do? Yeah? It's like when you're doing a Rubik's Cube. Hello, sir. In a Rubik's Cube, yeah? So when it's all set and you're about to give someone else the challenge, what do you do? What? What you what? You do. By the way, I don't know what to do. But my son is his favorite. Well, then, I don't know about now. When he was younger, his favorite. Amen? So God, yeah, we allow you in his gracious mercy to lose control. So you understand that it's not you that made yourself. Hallelujah. It's his grace. That control you think you have is grace that just made it possible. It's actually, in fact, it's the lowest level of grace called mercy. It's mercy that made it possible. So now when it's out of control, now you know that, I need God. Amen? So you say, I need God. Hallelujah. And prayer is you. It's coming to God and say, I need you. Amen? Or another way of saying that, in prayer you recognize him. Yeah, you recognize him. One element of prayer can be worship. You are recognizing that he's the creator. Amen? When you come to God and you have a need and you ask, you are recognizing that he's your helper, he's your provider, he's your sufficiency. Hallelujah. When you are facing spiritual battle and you're going to prayer, you recognize that he's your Jehovah Nissi. You know the meaning of Nissi? Anybody knows the meaning of Nissi? The meaning of Nissi? Jehovah Nissi? Come on, church. You should know it. Nissi. You see, he's Jehovah Nissi. He's what? He's your banner. Or let me use the language for today. He's your defender. He's your protector. Hallelujah. He's what? He's your shield. He's your banner. Hallelujah. Bible says that when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. But I tell you, see, without that shield, if Satan had his way, he wants to crush your destiny. It's not just your life. You see, yes, he wants to crush your life, but it's not your life he wants to crush mainly. Because everybody will leave this world as one day. Your prayer is that you live very old. Yeah, and fulfilled. Amen? It's not just the life he wants to crush. He wants to crush God's plan for your life. He doesn't want God's plan to come to pass for your life. Pass it. Because he himself, his destiny is messed up. He's the greatest loser. He is condemned. He has no hope. So all he's trying to do is destroy your hope. And so the spiritual warfare you have is to make sure that your hope, your destiny, your calling is not destroyed. Hallelujah. And the Bible says at the end of time, it says that he will separate the sheep from the goats. And he will say to the goats, he said, depart from me into everlasting fire that was prepared for the devil and his angels. You see, the everlasting fire was not God's plan for humans. Yeah? It's the judgment of rebellion of Satan and his angels who rebelled. Hallelujah. But what the devil is trying to do He's trying to get you, first of all, mess up God's plans for your life on this earth, so that it will just turn you to a basic animal. You are eating, and what? And drinking, and what else? You are playing. Either on the field or your smartphone. Yeah? And the days of your life are counting. 1 year, 2 year, 3 year, 4 year, 5 year. Yeah? Destiny wasted. He's happy because he has wasted your life. It's like you never lived. Or you live just like a basic animal. And then more importantly, that he wants to also destroy your eternity. This is the warfare we're in. And the place of warfare, what do you need? You need to pray. You need to pray always. With what? All prayer. And what? Supplication. Another way of saying that is all kinds. There's not only one kind of prayer. There are many kinds of prayer. Now let me test you a bit on prayer. So let me ask you, what is the easiest kind of prayer? This guy. There are different kinds of prayer, but there's one that is the simplest, easiest. We've done it today. It's the easiest one. It's the one you used to enter. You enter his gates. I give you the key. You enter his gates with
Thanksgiving.
Is it those difficult? It's easy. That's easy. Father, Lord, I thank you for today. Thank you for the breath I breathe. Thank you for what? My job. Thank you for my friend, my family. Thank you for my finances. Thank you for food. I'm telling you, that's important. To have food. And then if you are lucky, you have good food. Or you have a good mommy that gives you what? Good food. You should be grateful. Somebody is sacrificing to make you enjoy. You should be grateful. Daniel, I know you're a man. Yeah? But you're still mommy's boy. Amen? Hallelujah. We should be thankful. It's the easiest type of prayer. It doesn't get easier than that. Thanksgiving. Yeah? And praise. That's the simplest level. Yeah? And then you begin to move up. Another type of prayer is a prayer of repentance. It's prayer. Rededicating yourself to God and say, Lord, I'm yours. Use me. It's prayer. You're moving up the ladder. And then the most common type of prayer we do is asking. You're making requests. Give me this day my daily bread. And God is not ashamed of you saying to him that I'm in need. If you're in need, ask God. I'm talking about the need that you can't meet. Okay? I mean, if you have 10 pounds and you need what? You need an ice cream. Yeah? Just go to the ice cream van and what? Pay. Provided 10 pounds is yours. Don't use my 10 pounds to buy your ice cream. You need to ask me. Yeah? But if you don't have and you need, or maybe what you need is something that money cannot buy. You know there are many things that money cannot buy? There are things you desire, but you can't buy it. Go to the Father, ask him. Say, Lord, I need this. Lord, I need this. Yeah? Ask. Matthew 7:7 says what? Ask. And what? You shall receive. But when you look deeper into that in Luke, it shows us that actually it's not just a one of asking. You have to persist, because it tells us a parable. He said a man goes to his friend at night and asks. And the friend says, you know what, I'm in bed. I can't give you now because I'm in bed. I can't give you the loaves. But Bible says that even if you're not giving because he's his friend, but because he persisted, he keeps knocking, keep asking, that man will rise and give him. Not because he is his friend. He will come out and say, it's not because you're my friend. It's because you won't let me rest. Amen. So there are some things, the requests you ask God are not equal. Some things you will ask just one word and it is done. Amen. But it's not every request that you go to God that is press button. They need to warn you that not, just like, you know, problems are not the same. Challenges are not the same. Some things come easier than others. So sometimes when you're asking, even if there's no result yet, persist. Please don't tell your neighbor, smile and say, persist. Learn to persist in prayer. Hallelujah. You persist. The only time you should give up prayer is if it's something you want, but not something you need. God does not guarantee to give you everything you want. And let me just quickly emphasize it, but although I know somebody in this church in their prayer, and I see the way they pray now, and I like it. You can't just say, pray for people and say, God, give them all their heart desires. Bad prayer! First and foremost, you don't know all their heart desires. And some of their desires can be wrong. If they are not delighting themselves in the Lord. It's only what someone that is delighting themselves in the Lord that their desires will be right. Because the Lord himself will be influencing those desires. Yeah? So you don't say, oh, God, answer all their prayers. What do you mean by that? Do you know what they prayed for? You can pray amiss. You can pray for the wrong thing. And the Bible says that when you pray for the wrong thing, God does not have any obligation to give you the wrong thing. He said, if you as a father, yeah, if your son comes to hug you for an egg, will you give him a scorpion?
No, sir.
Okay. What if he asks for a fish? Will you give him what? A serpent?
No.
Why? Because you're a good mother. A good father will not do it. But a bad father will, particularly if you been disturbing his life. Yeah? Or if you are not pleasing him. You know? It goes both ways. If you as a son or as a daughter are not pleasing your parent, how do you expect them to continue to deliver for you? You know what did God say about Jesus? He said, this is what? My beloved son, in whom I am well. Please, that's what you want to be as a son or as a daughter. Hallelujah. You want to play your role in a way that your parents, their heart will bless you. Bible says, honor your father and your mother. That what? That it may be well with you. The land will live. That doesn't mean you do everything they want. But you will treat them with respect and reverence. Amen? It's a key to blessing. It's part of watching. Hallelujah. So there are some problems that you need to persist. So long it's a need, you persist. Yeah? If it's just a want, you are not sure it's a need, you can give it up. But if it's a need, you do what? You persist. You keep on asking. It's in the Bible. You keep on seeking. If you read it in Matthew, it may not be clear, but when you read it in Luke 11, it's clear that it's a keeping on. You keep on seeking and you will find. You keep on knocking and the door will be open. Now, when you are persisting, don't go off and do the wrong thing because you could not wait. Yeah? You will make a mistake. Hallelujah. When you are trusting God and you're asking God, yeah, wait for his instruction. Yeah? Get busy doing what you know is right. Don't take a step beyond the zone of what you know is right until God steps in. Hallelujah. Because that thing you go off and do, yeah, outside of God, can cost you 5 years of your destiny. What I mean is that it takes you off a wrong path. And then as you try to get back on track, it may take you 5 years before you are fully back to where you should have been if you are on the right path. Hallelujah. Psalm 23. He leads me where? In the paths of righteousness. Why? For his name's sake. So now, when he leads me, what am I supposed to do? To follow. Look, if God leads you, he can't force you to follow. If you understand the way it works, it will lead you. That's God's gift to you. When God is leading me, that's his gift to me. But when I follow him, that's my gift back to God. Hallelujah. Say with me, say, when God leads me, that's his gift to me as a loving father. When I follow him, that's my gift back to God as a loving son or daughter. Hallelujah. Ephesians 6:18. Let's go there. He says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. So we need to ask ourselves, well, the question I will ask myself is this: what does it mean to pray in the Spirit? Because I see now that in Ephesians 6:18, if I am to pray always, I need the help of the Holy Spirit. You see that in the armor of God, yeah? As you follow the armor of God, it starts with what? What was the first element of the armor of God? Anybody? You can open it. Open book. Ephesians 6. From verse, is it verse 14? What was the first element? What was the first thing you should put on? You know, like when I was a younger Christian, yeah? My picture of the armor, I'm just thinking of, you know, in human terms. I'm not saying beyond, because the Holy Spirit can take you to different levels of revelation. And as God began to open my eyes, I look at the writer of Ephesians. This is someone who is also an academic in Jewish law. Jewish law. There is order in that scripture. It's not just telling you, okay, just put on this and put on this. No, it's giving the order. Amen? It's just like the fruit of the Spirit, there's order. He said the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love. That's the most important. The first one is the most important. The fruit of the Spirit is what? Love. If you get love right, you will produce the rest. Amen? He said the Ten Commandments. What's the first commandment in the Ten Commandments? Anybody remember? First commandment? It's Exodus chapter 3, I think, from verse 20. What's the first commandment? Young people. Any young person in the house, if you are young, what are you young for? Are you young for good or young for nothing? What's the first commandment? Come on. Help me. Come on. Come on. I see all of you. One person. The first of the Ten Commandments. Okay then. Open your Bible to Exodus. Chapter 3. Is it chapter 3? Chapter 20. Yes. Thank you, sir. Exodus chapter 20 verse 3. Yes. A young person to read. Any young person. Exodus 23. Come on. Exodus 20. Are you with me? Are you with me? I hope, young people, that you're on your Bible app and your notes, not on social media. You can do that after church. I will not come and monitor you then. But right now, I want you to give that attention to God. It's just 45 minutes of total attention. Exodus 23.
You must not have any other God but me.
You must not have any other God. Is that all? That's nothing more. You must not have any other God but me. If you master that, you've mastered all the commandments. If you put God first, yeah? If you put God first, every other thing falls into place. Hallelujah. Every commandment is a failure to put God first. Some of them you put yourself first. Every sin comes from selfishness and pride. There's no sin you can tell me. It's a product of selfishness and pride. And the only key, the only way to overcome your selfishness, yeah, is to lay it down, yeah, at the foot of the cross and let God be first. Amen? Hallelujah? So the first is important. So what's the first element of the armor of God? Ephesians 6, is it 14 or 13? Who has it? Go to there. Go to Ephesians 6, 14 or 13. Give me the first in your fight in your battle against the devil and the forces of darkness. Yeah? What's the first? Check it. Don't be too sure. Yes?
Belt of truth.
The belt! The belt of truth is the first thing you need to put on if you are going to overcome the devil. Now, when we say belt, you will not get it. Because the word is not belt like, you know. This is my belt, my belt line. My nice leather belt. Yeah? Amen? And I thought I had I thought I had a very strong leather belt, yeah? Until I gave it to one of my sons. It broke down over 1 year. I thought it was strong, but it broke down. Amen? The belt, in that word belt, yeah? The better word is the girdle. The girdle of truth. Do you men understand that word girdle better? Girdle. G-I-R-D-L-E. Gird yourself. You gird yourself. Yeah? Before you are putting on any weapon or using any weapon, you need to be well girded with truth. Amen? You need to be what? Well established. In what? In truth. In sound doctrine. If you are not well established, yeah? You will trip yourself up. This is the issue. You see, when you're not, if you're wearing a gown, yeah? I remember I went to one Nigerian party. Okay, no, it was a wedding. Okay. And, you know, some of these weddings can be very flamboyant. Okay. So, I had a woman, she wore a gown, and then it was overflowing. You know what I mean? Like, it's overflowing. Yeah? So now, the problem is that if you're not careful the way you walk, but if you're wearing a high heel, yeah, what will you do? Let me ask a woman. what are the risks?
The heels will get caught in the tail.
And then before you know it, you can even trip yourself up. Now I'm not saying you should not wear over. I'm just saying that if you're wearing an over, you be careful how you are walking. But more important is that when you guide yourself, you are making sure that there is nothing to trip you up. That is the beginning of you winning the battle against anything the devil is throwing at you. You don't want to be the one compromising yourself. This is the issue. So you get yourself up in truth. Amen? What's the second one? Is there Ephesians 6? Is it 14? 13? 14. Yes, what's the second one? Come on, it shouldn't be difficult.
Breastplate.
The breastplate of what?
Integrity.
Integrity, another version calls it what? Righteousness. Hallelujah. And you know, I've taught you, I said, you know, firstly, every weapon you are putting is something you have, you said put on. If you look at it, it starts with what? Put on. Well, a better way of explaining that is something you must put on and keep putting on. It's not something there permanently, because if it's there permanently, you don't have anything to do. Amen? So the breastplate of righteousness, you put it on. Now, of course, when you come to Christ, you will see the gift of righteousness. Because Jesus became sin for you. If you believe that with your heart, yeah? He took your sin and gave you what? Is righteous. But if I'm teaching you today, that's not what we're talking about. It is, and yet it is not. It is in the first step. But in the continuous step, you need to do something further. 1 John chapter 1 verse 9. Verse 8 says, if we say we have no sin, we are what? We are lying. And the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to what? Forgive us. And do what? From what? All unrighteousness. So I must continue to maintain that righteousness. Yeah? True repentance. When I do wrong. I'm not talking about a sin consciousness. I'm talking about the fact that you have done wrong. Sometimes that conviction may come to you, whether through your reflection or somebody tells you, brother, what you're doing is wrong. Sometimes the Holy Spirit, it will just, brother, can I cause it the 2 a.m. problem? It will just know you and say, the way you spoke to that person is not right. Amen? Don't throw it under the carpet! Don't throw it under the carpet! Yeah, you are going to hurt yourself by throwing it under the carpet. Deal with it and say, Lord, I'm sorry. Don't stop there. You may also need to say sorry to them. Hallelujah. You are keeping the devil away. Hallelujah. You are keeping him far, far away. What's the third element then? Third element. A young person who is not sleeping. Ephesians 6. Open your Bible. Verse 14 and above. We talk about the belt or the girdle of truth. We talk about the breastplate of righteousness. What's the third one? Ephesians 6, 14. Look at it. Now maybe you're in verse 15. Yes? Is a young person in the house awake? Thank you, sir. Thank you. I thought they were all sleeping.
For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you will be fully prepared.
Amen. Hallelujah. What are your shoes? It's the gospel. Yeah? It's the gospel. Let me explain that. Your shield, yeah, is your willingness or your preparedness, yeah, to stand for Christ and speak his word. Hallelujah. It's a protection for you. Wherever you are willing, what? To what? Stand for, because shoes help you to stand firm, isn't it? And what? Proclaim. You proclaim the word. Anytime you proclaim the word, yeah, your spiritual shoes are working. And it will protect you. But if you play the coward, yeah, you speak nothing. You didn't mentor anybody. You get a nice food, you get a nice clothes, but no spiritual mentoring. Yeah? No shoes. You are walking spiritually barefooted. Yeah? You will land on a thorn one day. Hallelujah. Because you are not speaking the word. You have to speak the word. You have to proclaim the word. Hallelujah. You have to preach. You have to teach. You have to mentor. The power of your influence as a Christian is your preaching, your teaching, your mentoring. It's not just Pastor Ben. It applies to you, sister. Yeah? Anywhere you are, there's somebody you can influence. Some problem you can teach or instruct or correct. I know it's sometimes you're afraid of correcting people. You think Jesus is not correct anybody, yeah? Hallelujah. Remember that young man that came to Jesus and said, you know, good teacher, what will I do to reap eternal life? I said, Jesus looked at him and said, well, you know what? Keep the what? Commandments. Guy is very happy. Yeah? Because you know why he's happy? He's prepared himself. He's done the work. He said, which one? Which one? Jesus not today. Jesus, of course, by the Holy Spirit, could be read his mind now. So he first give him the served him to the nice corner. I said, do not do this. He said, yes. From the time I was young, I have carefully kept this. His pastor, Jesus looked at him and loved him. In my own translation, Jesus got him and pitied him. He pitied him. Sorry, so sorry for him. He said, you know what? Go and sell. Are you following? Do you like that story? Say what? Go and what? Sell. I mean, this guy, he had his whole life settled. The life of his grandchildren, they were all settled in his inheritance. Yeah? He was financially secure. You know what? Have you heard of the word financial security? But you just say that, go and bury, go and throw away your financial security and come and follow me. Now, please understand me, what I'm trying to teach you. The question was, what will I do to inherit eternal life? For this particular person, if he didn't obey what Jesus said, he's not on his way to heaven. Why? Because his riches had him. Not the case for everybody. But in this particular situation, this man's riches had become his idol. And he's not having eternal life if he doesn't dispose that idol. It's not the riches that is evil. It's the evil. No. Money is not evil. Yeah, it's how we use it. Yeah, money is not evil. Money is a tool for both good and evil. But for this guy to be breaking the first commandment itself and say, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me," is this blockade to eternal life. That's why he just says, he's saying, dispute it. Amen? And you know what? Who was he supposed to give it to? His friends? His family? His work colleagues? His business partners? Who? Those who will never be able to repay him. He can't go to them and say, "You know what? Can you give me some interest?" Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So you see, your ability to trust God is a key element of your victory over Satan. Hallelujah. So when you're not trusting God, you're losing the battle. Because to overcome darkness, you need God. Yeah? And to enlist God, you need faith. For without faith, it is what? It is impossible. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 So let's open our Bible to Romans chapter 8. We want to look at praying. No, so I was going to ask a question and say, what does it mean to pray in the Spirit? Because it said praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Oh, I remember what I was saying. That all kinds of prayer. So now as you are moving up, prayer is getting tougher. Yeah? So when you ask God, you need to ask in faith. Lord, prayer of faith. You pray, but you pray in faith. But there are sometimes there are some problems that your faith alone will not solve. There's some problems that you pray, yeah, but your faith is not strong enough. So what do? You move to the prayer of agreement. Yeah? Which means you're finding somebody else more spiritual than you who can join faith with you. There's two are better than one. See, that's another kind of prayer. Hallelujah. But there's some prayer that is not just prayer of faith or prayer of agreement. It is intercession and what? Supplication. When you're making intercession, you can't agree. Because the person you are interceding for, they don't even know that they are lost or found. The person you are interceding for, they don't know their bearing. Yeah? They don't know. They are in spiritual blindness. Yeah? It's like you're praying for your friend who doesn't know Christ to come to Christ. How can they agree with you? So that's why you intercede. But it's a laborious prayer. Amen? Intercession is, you know, standing in the gap for somebody who doesn't know. Supplication also is, supplication basically is that, what's the meaning of supplication? Please help me. Another version, it said praying always with all prayer and supplication. Where's my mic? What is supplication? What is supplication? To make supplication. It's an old English. Okay, check Google. What's the meaning of supplication that you're making? Sorry? Relying, yes. More? What's the meaning of supplication? You say you're making supplication. Beg? Yes, any other word? Beg? Humbly ask. Plead. Supplication is a plea. Look, I'm telling you your Bible, yeah? You know everything is prayer of faith. Some prayers are what? Supplication. You are pleading. Or, the other word is what? Begging. See, there are some things in your life that either you don't know the will of God, or you don't have the faith. Enough faith to what? To receive. What do you do? If you don't have money, what do you do? You what? You what?
Beg.
You beg. That's it. It's simple. It's still a way. I'm telling you, it is foolish if you don't have and you don't know how to beg. I know, like, what I'm preaching may not sound conventional, but I'm teaching you the word of God. It's supplication. Supplication is a plea. Yeah? It's a cry. And also a begging. Let me now prove it to you. So the question you ask is, I said, did Jesus make supplication? He's the Son of God, isn't it? Yeah? Hebrews. Open your Bible to Hebrews chapter 5. I'm not sure I'm getting it right, but it sounds like Hebrews 5:8 in my mind, but I may be wrong. If I'm wrong, my brother will help me find it. He says, in the days of the flesh, after they had made prayers and supplication unto him that was able to save him, and it was hard in that he fared. Is it Hebrews 5:8? Hebrews 5:7. Thank you. God bless you. He helped me there. Hebrews 5:7. Let's read it. We are talking about Jesus now. Listen to Jesus. Listen to what Jesus did. Hebrews 5:7. Yes, who has it? Hebrews 5:7. Two versions. I will take two versions. Hebrews 5:7. Tell us your version.
KJV.
Yes.
Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him, that was able to save him from death and
yes.
was heard in that he feared.
Amen. So Jesus, we're looking at the meaning of prayer. He said, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the spirit. Now, example of Jesus. In the days of when Jesus was in the flesh, he made prayers and supplications. How? Tell us. Just continue from with prayers and supplications.
Yeah. Though he were a son. Yeah.
No. Go back to with prayers and supplication and keep going.
Oh, with strong crying and tears.
Wait, how did he make prayer and supplication?
Yeah.
And tears. Amen. Now, you may wonder, when exactly did this happen? There could have been many, but at least I know one in the Garden of Gethsemane. The Bible says even his sweat was like what? Blood. Amen. He prayed with crying and tears. So there are times like that you will call on God. Say, God, help me. And you, because, look, if your faith is not working, you have to know how to cry. I know what I'm teaching, Lord, it's not conventional, but it's the truth. You can't say, God, I'm here. Yeah, you have to do something about this. Amen? Hey, there's something in your life that's really, really causing you trouble and problem. And it's like there's no solution. Yeah? Cry out to God. Hallelujah. Plead. Beg. Amen? Beg. Jesus said, just say, Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass for me. That's supplication. Because it's a struggle in his flesh. He knew he should go to the cross, but he doesn't want to. He doesn't feel like going. Yeah? Going to the cross is the will of the Father. But when Jesus considered all what he has to go through, yeah? The pain, the shame, the rejection, yeah? He doesn't want to. So there's a struggle here. So he's praying, saying, Lord, if it's possible, is there any other way? Can you just release me from this? But that's in his flesh. Because in his spirit, he knows the will of God. But he's struggling. He doesn't want to go. That's why he's sweating like blood. It's agony. But he stays there. Until finally, God gave him the grace. He said, well, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Hallelujah. It's prayer that will enable you to do the will of God when you are struggling. Make supplication and you will receive grace. Amen? Because the outcome of supplication is grace. You receive grace. Grace empowers you to do what you can never do in your own power. Hallelujah. When you're already struggling and you're praying, make supplication, God will give you what? Grace. You will not be able to do what you could never do in your power. Hallelujah. But, you see, having understood prayer and supplication, we need the help of the Holy Spirit. So the question I ask is this. What does it mean to pray in the Spirit? And then we're gradually rounding up. So another 8 minutes or so, I would like to finish it there. Yes, what does it mean to pray in the Spirit? Because he said, Ephesians 6:18 said, praying always with all prayer and what? Supplication in the Spirit. So what I was going to say to you is that the most advanced or difficult type of prayer, yeah, is intercession and supplication. It demands everything from you. even to what? Your sweat becoming like what? Drops of blood. But please, don't kill yourself. You know why? Jesus died for you already. He did not tell you to kill yourself. And I'm not saying you should kill yourself. Amen? Eventually what you are seeking for is grace. Amen? Eventually what you are seeking for is an answer to prayer. What you are seeking for is a turnaround. Yeah? To the situation. Whether in your life or in the life of another person. But don't kill yourself. Yeah? Well, if you push yourself to the side, wait, fight the battle another day. Amen? There are still many days of your life that you can fight this battle. So don't die before the battle is over. Amen? Save yourself. Yeah? It is wisdom to keep yourself alive to fight another day. Yeah? There's a time for everything. There's a time to fight and there's a time to what? To what? To run! I'm telling you now! There's a time to what? Run. When you're walking about, yeah? Be alert! Watch! Yeah? Open your eyes. Look. Yeah? There's a time to fight. And there's time to what? Run. When you run, you are saving yourself to fight another day. Amen? Hallelujah. So, what does it mean to pray in the Spirit? As we begin to round up, what does it mean to pray in the Spirit? Somebody help me. What's the meaning? Say, praying always, all prayer and supplication. Why did he stop there? Why did he say in the Spirit? Why did he say praying always, all prayer and supplication? And remove that phrase, in the Spirit. Why in the Spirit? Yes? Where's my mic now? Yeah, thank you, sir. Okay.
Being able to learn to listen to the Spirit in terms of Rima.
Yes. Pray, or another way of generalizing is praying with the help of the Spirit. Because what did the Holy Spirit come to do? He came to help us. The Holy Spirit is your helper. Say with me, say the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of the living God who lives within me because I have received Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior is there to help me. Hallelujah. So praying the Spirit is to pray with the help of the Holy Spirit. More. So just what I'm saying more is that how exactly does the Holy Spirit help you to pray? With open your Bible to Romans 8. That you just prompted me. What you said, I've understood it differently. That let's go to Romans 8. As we begin to round up, Romans chapter 8. So someone has been too quiet in today's sermon. I don't know why. Hello, sir. Romans 8. 26 to 27. Romans 8, 26-27. I will take two versions. And then that's like the last place we are opening for this sermon. And we explain it. And then we will pray. Romans 8, 26 to 27. Yes?
New King James Version.
Thank you, sir.
Likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weakness.
Listen to that. Likewise. The Spirit what? Also helps us. Can we personally say likewise? The Holy Spirit also helps me in my weaknesses. See, God knows you have weaknesses. Yeah? It's not a new thing. Yeah? But what is new is if you are not enlisting or align the Holy Spirit to help you. If every day you're just crying about your weaknesses, yeah, you're not living like a true believer. As a believer, you should not be living a defeated life because you have help. Yeah? Take advantage of the help. Yes, you have weaknesses. We must not deny it. But the Holy Spirit is there to help you. So if I'm not being helped, there's something wrong with my relationship or my communion or my engagement with the Holy Spirit. Because if I am engaging well and properly, I should be receiving what? Help. Please continue. The Bible is now about to tell you your greatest weakness. It says for example. But my interpretation is that it's choosing an example that is very important. Continue. For example.
For we do not know.
This one doesn't even say for. New King James doesn't say for example. It's that New Living that says for example. King James is definite. It's telling us definitely the weakness. Continue.
For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought.
We do not know what we should pray for as we ought to.
But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered.
But the Spirit itself, or Spirit himself, takes hold with us in prayer. You see, when you pray in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit comes upon you and takes hold with you. You are praying, but you know that you are praying with help. Amen? When you are praying in the Spirit, you are praying with inspiration. Amen? Praying in the Spirit is not praying with your mind. Because praying with mind for a difficult matter can be very, very laborious. Yeah? You still have to do it. If you don't have any other way, that's the only way. Amen? If you don't have the help of the Spirit, that's the only way. You have to pray with your understanding. And if it's a difficult matter, you will stay there and labor. There's such a thing called laboring in prayer. Just like there's such a thing called laboring in child delivery. Yeah? Did they call it labor? Did they call it the labor word? That's the name, what? The labor word. What is the business we do in the labor word? Labor. Amen. But what's the outcome? Brand new life. Amen. The outcome is what? The labor. May you not labor in vain. In any aspect of your life. In the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So when you're praying, you're understanding, about something, you're trying to shift something in the right direction. Something that is stubborn. Something that is difficult. Yeah? It's a labor mentally. At that moment, you need inspiration. Yeah? You need empowerment. You need the help of the Holy Spirit. He comes to help you. So when you are praying the Spirit, you are praying under the influence of the Holy Spirit. You are praying with the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. It makes the job easier. It's like you're trying to push a car. Then your friend comes along who is stronger than you. And puts hands. You see, he doesn't push it for you. He pushes it with you. Amen? If you call me, to help you. Okay, we don't do much pushing of cars in this country nowadays. Cars have, a lot of things have changed, batteries are very good now, whatever. But if you have a car that is an old one, what's the name? What do you call it? A very old car. What's the slang? Oh, banger. You may need to know how to push. And you don't have energy, you need to call me to come and help you push. But this is my principle. If I'm going to help you push, and you think that you're going to withdraw your hand, sit by the corner, have a nice sip of tea, and me, I'll be pushing alone. Forget it. Amen. He's taking hold with you. Amen. You are still going to pray. But we're going to inspire you and empower you to pray. You see, that's the way it works. Let's rise up. Talk to God today and ask for help. The help of the Holy Spirit. Tell God, say, I want to live more victoriously over every element of darkness. You see, You may be very easygoing and very simple, but there is darkness in this world, whether you like it or not. The darkness in this world does not have to do with whether you are easygoing or not. It just is there. You have to contend it. Bible says we're not just wrestling against human beings, but they are actually forces of darkness trying to destroy and pull us backward in our destiny, in our calling, in our purpose, in God's plans for our lives. So you need the help of the Holy Spirit to be victorious. Pray and say, Holy Spirit, I need you more than ever before. I ask that you come upon me. I ask that you fill me. I ask that you help me in my prayer life. I need your influence. I need your inspiration. I need your empowerment. I need utterance in the Holy Spirit. Utterance. If you have not received the gift of tongues yet, pray and say, you have to want it. You see, the worst thing in life is that you don't want what you need. That's a real problem. If you don't have something, that's not the worst thing. The worst thing is that you don't want what you need. prayer and say, Holy Spirit, I want help in my prayer life. I want utterance. Utterance is the gift of inspiration. There are three gifts of inspiration. The gift of prophecy, the gift of tongues, the gift of interpretation. And the most one you need for your prayer life is the gift of tongues. Pray and say, Holy Spirit, I want the gift of tongues so that I can pray under inspiration. I can pray. It's less laborious when you are praying under inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So, Lord, I ask for the gift of tongues. I want transformation in my prayer life because I want to live a more victorious life over every force of darkness that shows up in my life or in the life of the people I love. I believe that I receive the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. And thank you, Holy Spirit. For in Jesus' name, we are praying.